to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Deep Space High, Sci-Fi TV Review Podcast, where we break down the latest, maybe not so greatest, from today's sci-fi TV. I'm Jedi Master Steve.
And I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
So, Chris, we have a bit of an announcement.
Well, what's the announcement?
The announcement is there is a poll live on our Facebook page, Deep Space High Sci-Fi TV Reviews, where you could actually vote on what show we cover next.
Yeah, I actually saw that on the Facebook page. I voted. Have you voted on it?
I have voted.
Yeah. I'm curious, how many votes have we gotten so far, do you know?
Two.
Oh, man, I wonder what it's going to be.
Yes, but we encourage everyone who listens and to go out, like, and follow our Facebook page. And give us your opinion on the poll. There is four options. The Orville, The Expanse, Star Trek Discovery, or Battlestar Galactica, the 2004 reboot.
So much better than the 1970 version.
Well, got to keep it somewhat modern. But, yeah, we encourage everyone to get out there. For those of you who have seen some of these shows, I know Chris and I have seen Orville and Discovery season 1 and 2. I have not seen Battlestar Galactica, when I know he does, and neither one of us has seen The Expanse. The poll will be up. Let's see. We have this episode, and then we have two more of The Mandalorian. So we will end it the day we record the last episode of The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Well, how far along is Discovery in season 3? You know,
it's a little more than halfway.
Is it? Okay. So, I mean, they may not be done by the time we are finished with Mandalorian.
No, but, you know, by the time we get through seasons 1 and 2, they'll be done with 3.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, just to put that in perspective, since I really didn't give a date of when the poll will end. The poll will end roughly December 18th, about a week before Christmas.
Interesting. Okay. Now, what about The Expanse? How many seasons is The Expanse? You know,
The Expanse is, I think it just had its 5th season.
Oh shit. Okay. So I didn't know.
But there's season 1 has 10 episodes. 2 and 3 have 13, and 4 and 5 have 10. So there's actually going to be a 6th season, and that's going to be the final season.
Okay. Man, I hope it's good. I mean, if it's got 6 seasons, it's probably good, but hopefully it doesn't suck. Otherwise, it'd be a dread going through 6 seasons of the show.
No, I've heard good things about it. It started off on Sci-Fi, the Sci-Fi channel, and then it actually moved over to Amazon Video.
Okay. Interesting. I know Battlestar Galactica was a Sci-Fi show. It was originally on the Sci-Fi app.
Yeah, it was. And now I think we should be able to stream all 4 of these shows. I didn't really look into it, but I know we have CBS All Access, Hulu, which is where the Orville is, Amazon Prime for The Expanse, and then I don't know where Battlestar Galactica is. Hopefully that's still on Hulu.
It's not, but you can download the Sci-Fi app, and it's free on the Sci-Fi app.
Oh, well, we might have to do that.
Show. Yeah.
So. Well, if y'all vote for it, we'll find a way.
Yep.
Because this is the way.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, right. Like I said, December 17th or 18th, that'll be the last day. That gives roughly 2 weeks for the poll. Well, once this episode's announced, but the poll has been live for a day or two on our Facebook page.
So yeah. So go out and vote. Let us know.
Yeah.
Looking forward to whichever wins.
Yes, I have a preferred choice. And we'll see how that does. We both do, obviously, since we both voted.
Yeah.
So right now, well, I'm sure we're looking at a tie.
You can do it! You can do it all night long!
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, man, let's do it.
I mean, come on, I just don't see a problem here. Let's just do it.
I'm gonna go do it.
All right, well, what have we got in store for this week's episode, brother?
Today, we have a very interesting Mandalorian Season 2, Episode 5, Chapter 14, The Tragedy.
Aptly named episode title.
Yes, the spoiler warnings go off. Spoiler alert. That's all you're getting. Spoiler alert, in case you haven't seen it, whether it's the day this episode releases or 2 years from now.
Do we actually have like a thing for spoiler alert, like an edit or a sound clip?
No, but I think I can make one.
Almost like a red alert kind of thing. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, I'm sure I could find one. To give a summary of this episode, and it's pretty brief. I'll keep it fairly brief, and then we can get into our talking points. Episode starts out with Mandalorian. He is still testing. I want to call him Baby Yoda, but Grogu. While they're en route to Tython, trying to get him to take that little knob away from him using the Force.
And then I was surprised how easy it was for Mando to find Tython. I figured it'd be at least a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, I thought there'd be more of a journey, but they arrived to Tython within the first... I mean, before the title card comes up, the Mandalorian title card and the name of the episode, they're already on Tython. They land, they get to the Seeing Stone, he places Grogu on it. Another ship flies in.
In your defense, I mean, he's even got to say it a couple of times just to get used to it.
So. Yeah. Well, he keeps calling him kid.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why he kept saying Grogu over and over again in the beginning when the episode just started.
True. But anyways, Slave One flies in. And for those of you who don't know, that is the name of Boba Fett's ship, Slave
what
One.
What was it? Slave One?
Slave One, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it was Slave One. Okay. It's an interesting name.
And as soon as that came into frame, I got super giddy and excited. I was like, this is going to be a goodie. Boba Fett steps out of the ship. Mando goes and meets him. They have a little standoff where we find out Finnick is still alive after taking a shot to the gut in Season 1.
Well, I guess that answered that question.
Yep.
That was probably one of the questions we asked when something to look forward to for Season 2.
Yep. And not long after their standoff starts, the Empire comes in. Stormtroopers start... While trying to make it up the hill, fight ensues. Boba Fett gets his armor back from the Razor Crest. Mandalorian tries to get the child, who is in the middle of a Force trance, and creates like a Force field to where he is not able. Well, he is in Din Djarin. Mandalorian is not able to penetrate the field in order to get Baby Yoda.
Well, I don't know if that was like a Force field, but I think it was more Baby Yoda channeling the energy.
Well, it created
force
like a force field. That's just how I was describing it.
Oh,
it was force field like. Anyways, we'll talk about that more in a little bit. Anyways, they are able to fight off the stormtroopers to get them to retreat back to their ship, at which then the light Imperial cruiser blasts the Razor Crest to oblivion. Mando's trying to make a mad dash up the hill to save the child. And when we get some Death Troopers dropping in to, lo and behold, kidnap Grogu. Which, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Anyways, you know, we find out that because they're Boba Fett and Din Djarin were kind of trying to make an agreement saying that if Din Djarin gave Boba his stuff back, that he would help protect the child from whatever bounties and whatever Imperial threats may come their way. And now, because Grogu was kidnapped and is in the hands of the Imperials, Finnick and Boba Fett are now kind of in service to Din Djarin in order to help him get the child back. So, what do they do? First thing they do, they hop on Slave One, fly off to Navarro. They're recruiting, what's her face? Less angry Rosie O'Donnell, Cara Dune.
Mm-hmm.
Mando then wants some information on the old Imperial sharpshooter from Season 1, Mayfield.
Was he from Season 1?
I'm sensing another Prison Break episode.
What episode was he from? I don't actually remember him now that I think about it.
The Prisoner episode. He's the comedian. He's played by Bill Burr. He was the bald. The bald guy.
I'm curious why they need him specifically.
Because he's ex-Imperial. Worked with him before.
Yeah.
Kind of. So, and then the episode ends in on a high note with Baby Yoda just kind of throwing some stormtroopers around like they were little rag dolls.
Yeah.
And then Moff Gideon threatens him with the dark saber, but that's how the episode ends.
I don't think he was threatening him. I think he more taunted him.
Yeah, taunt might be a good way. But that was a brief summary. I mean, there was plot-wise, there wasn't much there, but there was so much that happened in this very short episode.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was actually this had a lot of information in it, actually. More than...
But I did not see this episode coming, because when the title card came up and we find out it was called The Tragedy, I was like, oh shit, what's happening?
I actually didn't even notice it until the second time that I watched it.
Oh my gosh.
So
no, because I didn't expect them, and neither one of us expected them to get to Tython already. We thought there would be some other detour. This episode might be a filler episode, but no.
I don't know. I kind of saw it coming given how they did the last episode, how they didn't really build up to the, you know, revealing of Ahsoka. They kind of just went straight for it. I figured they might do the same thing here, and they might try to top it. I just didn't think it would work, but it totally worked. I mean,
the last three episodes of The Mandalorian have been fantastic.
And the best part is they've gotten better every episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I cannot wait to see what happens next one.
Yeah, I can't either, because we're pretty much going to get an ensemble with less angry Rosie O'Donnell. Might see Greef Karga's character come back. Gonna have Finnick, who's played by, I can't think of me, the girl from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Boba May? Fett. Yeah. She's, but I can't think of her real name.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. But I know her name in the show.
Yeah, I do too. But I think, you know, we're going to see a mini team of, gosh.
Star Wars version five, of Suicide maybe, Squad.
Maybe six or seven, kind of hunting down this Moff Gideon and trying to get Grogu back.
Yeah.
Ming-Na Wen is. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's Ming-Wa. Ming-Na Wen is the actress.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're screwing it up somehow.
Damn, she's 57 years old.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Damn.
She don't look it.
No, she does not.
Nope. Anyways. So yeah, the next couple episodes will be good, but let's talk about this episode. And I think the big talking point is obviously Boba Fett.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh my gosh. Well, one, we learned a lot of information about Boba Fett. One big thing is that he's alive. Duh. But
well, we found that out at the end of season episode
one. One of the things that actually kind of confused me was if he knew that Mando got the armor and who he got it from. I can't remember the guy's name. Why didn't he just get the armor from him in the first place? Why did he have to track Mando down to steal the armor afterwards?
I'm not sure. Maybe it was just the timing of things. Maybe he, you know, spent a few years trying to get it. I'm not sure what caused him to delay. He obviously knew the guy had it. Or maybe it just took him that long to track down the armor, and by the time he figured it out, Mando had just gotten his hands on it after episode one.
I guess
during episode one.
I guess so. But we learned a bit about Jango in this episode, that he was a foundling, and that's how he got the armor.
Yes, he was a foundling, and he fought in the Mandalorian Civil Wars, which take place right around the time episode one starts. Give or take a year or two, but...
Now, I don't know too much about the Mandalorian Civil Wars. You want to go into it a bit?
I won't go into it too much, but I'll say it was a clash between Mandalorians with the established government, who was the warrior class, and the new government, who we see in the Clone Wars, who is, Obi-Wan's girlfriend. I can't think of her name. God, that's going to bug me. But Bo-Katan's sister. you know, that was, that took place before, and you know, they, the more diplomatic, pessimistic, or pessimistic groups of Mandalorians kind of were able to fight off the warrior class and take control of the government, and that's really what the Mandalorian Civil Wars were. And I think, I'm assuming after those ended, chances are Jango was fighting on the side of the warrior class that lost, and once they lost, he probably just broke away from his Mandalorian culture and started bounty hunting and kind of just fended for himself.
Yeah, what was that that line that he said, just making his way through the galaxy, or you know which one I'm talking about? When
he pretty much just I'm a lone wolf.
Well, no, his that's the same thing.
I'm a simple man working my way through the galaxy. I answer to no one.
Yeah, well, he said the same thing to Obi-Wan in Episode 2. Jango did.
Yeah, so that's probably after the result of the Civil War. He probably just, you know, went on that solo mission.
Yeah, and he taught the same thing to Bubba.
Yeah,
apparently.
Bulba.
Is it Bulba or Bubba? I like Bubba.
Bulba. Like there's an L in there.
Oh, Bulba. Oh, kind of like the drink Bulba, the tea.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe I just emphasize the non-existent L more than some people.
Maybe.
But like we mentioned earlier, and I called it because I actually went back and listened to the episode where we talk about episode 5 of season 1, The Gunslinger. And I called it was Bubba coming to Fennec's rescue at the end of that episode.
Oh, what did I say?
You thought it was someone from the First Order, someone from the Syndicates. You pretty much said everyone in the Star Wars universe other than Boba Fett.
Oh, yeah, I do that sometimes. Sometimes I'll just bet against you because then I have better odds of winning.
Whatever, I was right. You were wrong, so
that's
you
fair.
You could eat it.
It's a 50-50 strategy.
Yeah, you can eat it. But now, speaking of Fennec and Bubba rescuing her, she's kind of cyborgish. I guess when she got shot in the gut, they had to replace her with some machinery, and now I'm not sure how that works or what the hell's going on or how much of her internal organs they had to replace, but man, that was a cool scene where she kind of pulls open the lower part of her shirt and it reveals kind of an opening with all these mechanics and machines going on.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of confusing because did she have like a hole completely punched through her? Did it just like kind of burn the surface? You know, can she eat? Can she take a shit? Like, so many questions, but no answers.
It looks like her digestive system's gone. Her liver's gone. So, I don't know.
Does she have to drink oil to, like, lubricate the systems? Like,
probably not drink it, but.
WD-40.
She's not the Tin Man. I'm curious to find out. I mean, it's almost going to have to be a brief conversation in a future episode, given that it looks like she might be around, at least for the rest of the season.
Yeah. I mean, I joke around about it, but I mean, I'm curious to hear more information about it and see the kind of challenges that she's got to deal with. I mean,
yeah, because
I'm sure
there's
going to be some kind of character development.
We've seen people lose limbs, and that's one thing, but to lose a midsection and have all your internal organs replaced,
yeah,
whatever muscles and bones and tissue that was there, I mean, I'm really curious to find out how that works.
Well, I mean, we've also joked about this in past episodes that, you know, losing an arm in the Star Wars universe is kind of a rite of initiation almost.
Rite of passage, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that more complicated injuries, they've managed to figure those out too, given how simple it is to repair an arm nowadays.
I mean, look at General Grievous. He pretty much had some internal organs and then was 95% metal.
Yep, but he still had the stoner's cough.
Yeah, well, he did it in
the cartoon.
The Clone Wars. Yeah, I don't think he really did.
Well, supposedly something happened to where he developed it.
Yeah, but that's a different show for a different conversation for a different time.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I'm curious to see, you know, what we find out about Fennec. But back to the Boba Fett. We also find out that he has his father's armor. Well, quotes, you know, air quotes, father, since he's not really his father. But yeah, he pretty much, after I guess his father died, he took his armor and kind of repainted it and made a name for himself. And that was
Did he repaint it, or did it just kind of fade, or did it oxidize almost, or Baskar's version of oxidation, or, you know?
No, I'm pretty sure he, because Jango's was kind of silver and blue, and I'm sure he painted over it in the green and red and some yellow to distinguish himself from his father's legacy.
See, now that's something that I wanted to talk about, you know, kind of later, but something that I was curious about. How tough is Baskar? Because, I mean, Mando was literally just standing in front of, Fennec, and just absorbing the blaster rounds. Like, it's nothing. Like, how much can Baskar take before it gives out? I mean, even the strongest of alloys and metals will eventually give out.
Well, yeah, and I don't know. It's pretty tough. I mean, it's not like bulletproof armor where, you know, once bulletproof armor is... it looks like it. But once bulletproof armor is shot, it's, you know, it's compromised. Now, it can take multiple shots, but it can't take... Like, in this episode, we see Mando take probably a dozen shots minimum to protect Fennec.
Well, I mean... You know, most bulletproof today is bulletproof vest is Kevlar, which is more of a fabric than a metal. This is just more straight,
I'm saying there's, even if you had an iron plate, how long is the iron plate going to hold up against repeated abuse? And that's the point you're getting at. How long can Baskar take repeated abuse before it's structurally compromised and no longer is effective? The answer is, I don't know. Maybe it's like the vibranium of the Star Wars universe. I'm pretty sure we joked about that in a previous episode.
Yeah, but Thanos' sword did get through the shield. So
now, there's like you said, I know lightsabers can get through it eventually, but it will, you know, it will deflect a lot of lightsaber blows. It's not impenetrable to lightsabers, but it will deflect it. It will defend against them.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't it maybe... Whoa, God damn it. It was... Did they call it vibranium? What did... They described it in Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, like in the beginning, when you had vibranium swords.
I haven't played that game in like 10 years.
I keep forgetting
have a vibro sword.
Yeah. Is it the similar concept where it's the vibrations prevent it from... penetrated, because they had to explain it in the game somehow why the swords would not get sliced off.
They could be, but the game's not canon, so I don't know.
Yeah, but it's still awesome. And honestly, they're going to be moving in that direction too.
Hopefully.
Oh, and by the way, I actually put out that petition. I signed a petition to for EA to digitally enhance, not remake, just digitally
remaster.
Yeah, digitally remastered, just like Call of Duty 4, but do it to Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic for its 20-year anniversary in 2023.
I don't think EA has the rights to that game, but
they
again,
do because EA is the parent company of BioWare, and BioWare made the game. So,
I knew BioWare made it. I didn't know EA was the
parent
company.
Bought the rights. Yeah, they got the rights from them. So. Okay. Do it. Sign the petition. We need 25,000 signatures. Last time I checked, we were at 16,000.
Well, we'll get back to that. But let's keep talking about Boba Fett. I mean, he had... Oh my gosh, this episode... I mean, every time Temuera Morrison, who is the guy who played Jango in episode 2, who is the guy who played all the clones. Not all of them, but, you know, any clone that had to take his helmet off, this is the same actor.
Mm-hmm. And he when the digitally remastered Star Wars movies came out, he did the voiceover for Boba Fett.
Oh, he did do voiceovers for Boba Fett. Yes. So anytime he was on screen, especially, and anytime what?
Now you're saying Boba Fett, and I'm saying Boba Fett.
Whatever. Who cares? Fett. Boba Fett. Boba Fett. Whatever.
Sorry.
Point is,
it's a shit I know.
Anytime Temuera Morrison was on screen. Especially during his fight scenes, I got giddy because they looked good.
Oh my gosh. And he you know, it's amazing how dangerous those Tusken Raiders would be if they were actually competent fighters like Bubba. Because isn't that like a Tusken staff that he had? That he was using?
I think so. I think he has Tusken gear because I think the rifle he has is a Tusken rifle with a Tusken. I mean, I don't even know what you would call that weapon, but it was like a giant staff, but with a pizza cutter, a serrated pizza cutter at the end.
Well, it had the just kind of a blunt object on one end so you can beat the living shit, and it was kind of curved so you can hook and grab, and it had that the bottom, I guess, had a sharp spear to where you could stab people with. So, I mean, it's literally almost like a walking stick that can be – it's literally the walking stick of death.
Pretty much. But he was bad. I mean, you could tell it looked like – especially after rewatching, it looked like they sped up, you know – just ever so slightly when he was swinging that stuff around and fighting off the stormtroopers compared to how fast the actor actually moved. Like it looked a little sped up, but man, did it look good.
Oh yeah. Don't they do that for most movies that when they do the fight scenes, they kind of just do it a little bit slower and then they'll speed it up for, they'll actually speed the film up for the fight to make it look like a real scene or
just like a fast fight. Yeah, I think so. And it looked like they did that here because I was like, I mean, Tamora Morrison, him old, but he's not a young guy to be moving that quickly. And I know they had a stunt double in there at some point, but it looked like he was making a lot of those moves too.
Yeah, it did. Oh my gosh, and they looked real. I mean,
they look good.
Those stormtrooper armor, the plastic. Or I guess the plastique armor, air quotes. But I mean, that shit was just completely destroyed. And you could see the shrap pieces, plastic shrap, the pieces of it flying after, you know, beating the shit out of the stormtroopers. And it's incredible. Oh my gosh. Just the level of detail that they went into the shit. It's remarkable.
Yeah. And I know there's a lot of Boba Fett fans, whatever, going to get. Well, if we had enough listeners, I would get criticism. So, but I will at some point. I lost my point.
You were talking about Boba Fett fans.
Oh, I was saying his fans. I mean, you know, Return of the Jedi, he dies, and there was a lot of hardcore fans that really loved him, and now they're getting actually seeing him in action. And you know, before Mandalorian, I liked Boba Fett. He was a cool bounty hunter. I liked his arcs in Clone Wars, but so I mean, I don't think I was as satisfied as a lot of the hardcore Boba Fett fans are, but I think they really got something here in this episode, especially seeing him fight once he put his armor on for the first time and he appeared, and you know, he had like a duel kind of like hand cannons, and then he had like a double barrel knee shotgun.
Oh my gosh, that
whatever.
Was fucking awesome. As soon as those stormtroopers saw the knee gun, they were like, nope, bye. They turned around, back to the boats. It's almost like Starship Trooper, back to the boats.
Yeah. Here's something I want to point out. You know, I know, is it twice? I want to know where everyone is getting the missiles for Boba Fett's jetpack.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of thinking the same thing because that's the third missile launch, right?
Yeah. And then the whistling birds that Mandalorian has, did the armorer make him just a shit ton? Because as far as I could tell, it's one use and then he probably has to go in and put more in.
Well, I'm sure when they redid the Baskar, they gave him surplus and he just has more that he could have, you know, replace it with, but with his ship destroyed, I don't think he's going to have any more. But if he does, then that theory is wrong.
Yeah, I just want to. It's like in action movies when you know revolvers have 20 rounds in them.
Yeah, right. Oh my gosh. Or guns. I don't even know how they do that even in the movies. You know what I mean? Like, because don't they even at least use blanks in the movies, or do they?
Some
just
do. Some
digitally...
don't. Some just have a gun where it looks like, you know, they just add flash and whatever and visual effects in later.
I guess they all can't be John Wick.
Yeah, but that's what I want to know. It's a typical reloading issue. Where is Mando getting all his whistling birds? Where are they finding Boba Fett's rocket to go in his jetpack?
I don't know.
Yeah, I like the scene at the end of the episode where he's targeting the one closest to him, and you could tell because he looks at the one further away. He's like, no, and then he transitions to target the closer one and then misses, hits the further one, which ends up crashing into the one he was actually aiming for, just destroying both of them. And Din Djarin's like, nice shot. And he's like, thanks. Wasn't what I was going for, but it worked.
Yeah, right.
I was like, okay. So the targeting system's not perfect, but still a great scene.
Well, I mean, it's an old piece of armor. And then again, it did have to go. I'm sure it had to, you know, hold up against that. God, what was it called? That he was eaten in 6?
Oh, the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, I'm sure it got damaged a lot in the Sarlacc, you know, because, I mean, he did get eaten.
Yes, but in episode 1, you know, we did see, I can't think of the character's name off the top of my head, but the guy who did have his armor, we did see him successfully target some raiders and kill them.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they were on a speeder, not a ship, flying away. And there wasn't two of them. There was just one target. So I'm sure there might have been a targeting issue. He was aiming for one and it just so happened went to the other. Which would make sense if it was damaged in the Razor Crest.
Could be.
Not the Razor Crest, the Sarlacc.
Well, yeah, the Sarlacc, yeah. I knew what you meant. Let's see. I don't have much else on Boba Fett now. I did want to talk about Grogu was on the Seeing Stone for a pretty decent amount of time. So I'm curious who, I know we talked about it a little bit last episode. We're going to talk about it a little bit again. There are some more Jedis or people that I think could answer Grogu's call and come out looking for him.
Okay.
So, well, I'm going to go in. I know you might know one of these people. I have three. So,
okay. Well, let's see what you got.
The first one I thought of was Cal Kestis.
Okay. Now, isn't he from the new video game?
He is. He is from Jedi Fallen Order. He was an apprentice during Order 66. The video game takes place, I want to say, 5 to 10 years after Order 66. So it's like right in the middle of Episode 3 and 4. And, you know, at this time, it'd be roughly 20 years later. He would be right around
close to a Jedi. If he's
anywhere
alive.
Between 37 and 40.
Yeah, I mean, he would definitely be a Jedi Knight. And, then again, I don't know how the game ends. I've never played it, so.
The game is pretty much, he's looking for a list of Force-sensitive children. And so he's trying to track down that list. He eventually does and then destroys the list. And he's like, if there's any Force-sensitive beings out there, you know, let's let them find their own way if they want to be trained or not be trained. So
this option would make sense, especially since the game was made by EA, I'm assuming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And okay, well, if EA made it, then it's canon, so it would make sense that they would try to make it based off of a character in a video game that Disney owned the rights to, rather than try and do one of the you know, something that they haven't done, you know, one of the Legends characters or, you know, so forth, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think because of how the game ended, I think we're going to get a Jedi Fallen Order 2 because the first one was so popular. And, you know, but just the way the first one ended, if a Force user is reaching out through the Force wanting to be trained, and we did mention last episode, Ahsoka says if you put him on the Seeing Stone and he reaches out through the Force to try to find a master, then it's Grogu finding his own way. And since that's what he did, he obviously wants to continue to learn and master the Force.
Right.
So this could be, you know, if Cal Kestis hears this call, he can be like, okay, this child and being wants to learn the ways of the Force. So he might end up trying to track him down.
Now, I'm curious because I'm going to skip to a different point. So at the end of the episode, when Baby Yoda's, you know, fucking with the stormtroopers and throwing them around like little ragdolls, mm-hmm. He seems to have more control of his Force ability and more awareness of what he's doing. Do you think that time on the stone might have awakened something, the memories that he had from his training, and they almost like clicked back on, but he wasn't able to do anything because he, you know, passed out afterwards and, got kidnapped so fast he couldn't really do anything.
You know, well, I don't think it awakened anything. I think it was he was so timid to use his powers, and he finally got comfortable around Din enough to kind of start using his powers and using his powers to protect him. So now that, you know, he hates the stormtroopers and he's obviously senses he's in some sort of danger, now he's just kind of, you know, picking up where he left off with the Force. It is still taking a good toll out of him, but he's just, I think it was, you know, one of those things, like they said, you know, once you ride a bike, you'll always know how to ride a bike or whatever. So he's just picking up where he left off.
Interesting. So, now, I'm curious, is the fact that he gets tired after using the Force related to the experiments that were done trying to pull, I guess, his midichlorians out through his blood by taking out of his blood? You know, is that what's causing him to get so tired and exhausted every time using the Force, or is it just because he's so tiny and...
It yeah. could be that, and then this isn't my thoughts, but I heard someone say, you know, it's like, you know, you go to a gym all the time, you work out, and then you stop for a year, you eat junk food, you get out of shape and start to go back to the gym, you wear down quicker, you're not able to lift as much, you're not able to do as much. So it might just be a situation because he hid his Force abilities for so long and is not used to using them, that it just drains him quicker. He doesn't quite have the stamina to keep it up.
Yeah.
So that it could be that it could be a partial because they're draining his blood. But then again, they're just draining it. And, you know, the body will reproduce blood and essentially body, replace. Well, yeah, but it'll replace the blood, which in turn will replace the midichlorians. But I want to get back to the possible Jedi's coming back. So Cal Kestis was first. Second, Mara Jade.
Okay. Who's Mara Jade?
You know who that is. Oh, I thought for sure that would be the person that you would know who it is. So Mara Jade is actually in Legends Luke Skywalker's wife.
Luke had a wife?
Yeah, in the Thrawn books from the 90s, Heir to the Empire, that's where she's introduced, and she's actually a dark user of the Force who Luke eventually flips to the light side and marries her. And yeah. So I think she's one that they might pull out of Legends, and... she might be a dark user in this, and she answers the call to train him as a dark apprentice, or she might be on the light side. But I think that's someone they could pull out.
Interesting. Well, speaking of Thrawn, after you're done, we'll get back to him in a little bit, because I have some questions for you about him.
Okay, cool, because I did some research, but I've been drinking, so let's see how much I remember. So that's third. I would like to see Mara Jade, but then again, if they do bring her in, obviously Luke was never married in the sequel trilogy, so that's interesting how that will work. So that makes me think it's less likely to happen, but I still think it would be cool if they brought her in. Third, my last one besides unknown, is actually Quinlan Voss. So Quinlan Voss is a Jedi. He has been around for a while. He's about the same age as Obi-Wan. No, he's probably a little older, because I think he was a Jedi Knight in the first episode. And you actually see him in Phantom Menace. There's a brief scene somewhere when they're on Tatooine where you see this guy. But essentially, he's a Jedi Knight. I'm pretty sure he survives Order 66. But the last time I remember seeing him, it was actually in a book where he was teaming up with Asajj Ventress. And, you know, some stuff happens in that book, and he kind of goes on his own way. I think he actually leaves the Order. I don't remember. It's been a while since I've read that, but he might be someone who comes in and trains him, because he's a humanoid, but he's not quite human, so he could still be fairly young for his species.
Could be.
But I think those are the three Jedi, and there's obviously more. I mean, we could get...
What if we don't get a Jedi? What if we don't get a Sith either? What if we just get someone who is strong in the Force, but never really trained? And maybe Baby Yoda didn't actually reach out to anybody, but kind of, you know, used it to try and send a message in the Force to see if anybody felt the disturbance, and maybe just some strong Force user felt it and you know, we'll be eventually drawn to him, and we bring in a new character and create a new arc and a new well, you know, takes them to find their own journey, you know.
So it could be, I mean.
It's a little far-fetched, but it'd be an interesting way of doing it.
In the movies, there's the Jedi Order and the Sith. But kind of in other canon, you know, there's more groups than the Sith that are on the dark side. And then there's something in Legends called Grey Jedi, who's just someone who's strong in the Force. They've either trained as a Sith or a Jedi and then left their ways and kind of just...
Qui-Gon was a Grey Jedi, wasn't he?
No. He was just one who butted head with the Council all the time.
You sure? Because I thought I've heard, or at least I've done in my research, that yes, he does butt heads a lot, but he was one who kind of, he was a bit more along the lines and not afraid to learn both the light and the dark side and train.
Well,
it's
like Mace. I mean, Mace was in the Jedi Order and was a Jedi, but he, you know, learned the ways of the dark side. That, you know, a gray Jedi is essentially someone, it's like a third party. It's not a Democrat, it's not a Republican, it's an independent. They just do whatever. They have, you know, things with both sides and just do their own thing.
Well, I guess then they would be, by that same logic, they would be the closest to gray in the Jedi then.
Yeah. So, but those are my three Jedi. I would hope that could come up. I still think it'll be Luke. But, you know, we like to explore the possibilities. So there's three possibilities for you there, Chris.
Huh.
So you wanted to bring up Thrawn. So let's bring up Thrawn for a little bit. What do you have on him? What do you want to know?
Well, I think the first question I wanted to ask is, do you think we're actually going to see him this season? You know, is he going to be introduced this season? Do they do kind of a teaser at the very end and then be like a cliffhanger for season three? You know,
if they bring him in this season, it'll be the very last shot of episode 8 and it'll be as a cliffhanger. But
so it's literally season 8 of How I Met Your Mother.
Pretty much.
Okay. I'm curious who they're going to cast as to play Thrawn.
Oh, my God. I've seen so much.
Oh, really? Who have you seen?
Well, I've seen Benedict Cumberbatch. Some people want. I've seen... Yeah. What's his name?
Who's the guy from Harry Potter who played Malfoy's dad?
Hey, that's the other person I've heard.
Oh, my gosh. I think he would play a phenomenal Thrawn.
It's like Jason Isaacs or something like that.
Oh my gosh, he plays such a great dickhead. But he's very, very intelligent, very methodical kind of a dickhead. I think he'd be great for Thrawn.
He's already been in Star Wars. He was the Grand Inquisitor in Rebels. Well, he voiced somebody in
Star Wars. But I mean I think you can kind of get away with the voice, you know. I mean, if it was in the cartoon.
Either way, it's gonna be an English actor. So it's either gonna be Benedict Cumberbatch or I think it's Jason Isaacs, but his name is slipping my mind. Malfoy's dad, essentially.
I don't know.
The top two.
I don't know if I like Cumberbatch. I mean, he would do fine. I don't know if he's going to have the time, to be 100% honest.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not. Especially with
the new Doctor Strange. Yeah,
his new Doctor Strange and other shit he's doing.
Yep. Doing a lot of movies. Getting a big actor.
Yeah, I think Jason Isaacs is the front runner, or at least fan wise, I think that would be the best option.
Well, I'm curious on what storyline do you think they're going to go with Thrawn? Like, is Thrawn the one trying to rebuild the Empire?
I don't know. I know we talked about this little last episode, so we won't get too into it, but I don't know, because the last time I actually went back and watched Rebels. So the last time we see Thrawn is he and Ezra Bridger jump to hyperspace to these unknown regions and have been missing. And Ahsoka and this other Mandalorian by the name of Sabine Wren were searching for Ezra Bridger. So we don't really know what has happened to him.
Well, and I think they're continuing that storyline because...
Well, obviously.
From this episode, they were shocked, or Boba was shocked, when he saw the Imperial cruiser. And that's when they discovered that the Empire in some form is back, because, I mean, it was literally right there in front of his eyes. And then when they were talking to Less Angry Rosie O'Donnell, they talked about how Or was it when they were talking? Or was it when they were back on the planet? They were talking about how the Republic had jurisdiction of the Outer Rim. Then how were they able to come in and take control of the Outer Rim? That was some of the questions that they asked. And based off of what you just said, it seems like this is exactly how they're setting up that storyline, that they weren't in the Outer Rims and now they're taking control and starting with the Outer Rims. And we're starting to see that conflict.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. I don't know if it's they're taking control as much as, you know, it's kind of like an enemy vessel coming into U.S. waters. You know, they were out in international waters and kind of forgotten about. And now they're actually starting to appear in waters designated for whatever country. They're starting to impede on New Republic space and eventually will get caught.
Well, I don't know. Well, yeah, they are kind of. But I think that they're beginning to, by doing that, you're basically saying that you're trying to stake claim and eventually take control. It's kind of a, hey, we're in your space, kind of fucking with you. We're not doing anything, but we're going to, you know, we have the full intent of taking this territory. You know what I mean?
It could be.
Because they're just kind of making the incursion in. Well, actually, you know, now that I think about it, we don't even know if this is at the Outer Rim, because this was on Titan, and I don't know if Titan's on the Outer Rim. I don't know actually where it is on the map in the galaxy. Is Titan on the Outer Rim?
Titan is New Republic territory, so...
Is it closer to the core world?
I honestly don't know.
So, I mean, that's, again, because, I don't want to say for certainty, but if it is closer towards the center and it's not in the Outer Rim, that's a far incursion that cruiser made into Republic territory.
It could be, but given that they jumped to catch the Mandalorian, it was obviously somewhat strategic, so they're not going to come into a heavily patrolled area of New Republic space. So chances are Titan is... kind of Outer Rim-ish.
Yeah, okay.
Because one cruiser wouldn't make that kind of jump to risk running into New Republic forces.
Maybe they would. I mean, they did say that the bounty on Baby Yoda, Grogu, was raised 10 times or at least enough to afford 10 of Baskar, or Mando's Baskar armors. So, I mean, maybe it was worth it to go in and get them.
Could be. I don't know. We'll find out. That's probably going to be more of season 3 of what's happening with the Empire. Mm-hmm. And the start of the First Order. So, at the end of this episode, we were teased the return of Mayfield, who is, as we mentioned in the summary, Bill Burr's character from, I think it's episode 6. It's whatever the prisoner. I think it's the prisoner episode. Well, it is the prisoner episode. But that's when Mando teams up with these mercenaries consisting of a Twi'lek, a Star Wars Hellboy, and this Imperial sharpshooter, and then the Zero droid that Mando had on his ship that Frog Lady used to talk to him.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so
yeah. That's right.
So chances are we're going to see him next episode, which is great. I liked him in season 1. I'm sure I'll like more of him in the next episode. As I'm predicting some sort of jailbreak episode.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's a little on the nose. I mean, he literally did say, I'm planning on breaking him out of jail. So, okay.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of our look forward to the next episode, too. Yeah. Kind of killed two birds with one stone there.
Yep. Ooh, you know what? Before we end the show, though, I do have one quick, not tangent, but more of a rant. Has no one in Star Wars figured out not to try and challenge the guy who has the high ground? Like, seriously?
Yeah, I thought about that.
Like, I get it. It's two people against an entire platoon. Like, I get it. The odds are kind of in the stormtrooper's favor, but Jesus Christ, come on. You think somebody in the Star Wars universe has figured it out.
It's over, Anakin. I have the high ground.
Oh, my gosh. And then
you underestimate my power.
Yep.
And then she kicks Indiana a boulder. Jones. She rolls a boulder on.
I know.
And that killed me because it's like, why run kind of in front of the boulder? Why wouldn't you run to the side or at a diagonal to get out of its way?
I don't know. But it's stormtroopers. These are the same guys with the logic of, yeah, let's try and take a a hill that's 400 feet higher than
God. That has plenty of rock cover. So,
oh my gosh. And then loose boulders that can just so happen roll down a hill and take out every single stormtrooper in its path.
Yeah, just about.
And then what was the stormtrooper thinking trying to shoot it and destroy it? You're not going to fuck it. Just step out of the way, dude. Come on.
Yeah.
I just had to get that out there.
Shall we punch it?
Punch it, we can beat him.
Punch it, kill it.
Punch it.
Punch it.
Punch it!
Punch it,
hot
punch it. Punch it. Let's get the hell out of here.
Let's punch it.
Yeah, but anyways, next time on Deep Space High, we will be covering chapter, I think this was 14, so 15. Whatever chapter 15 is, it's some sort of prison break. I know I said earlier there's only two episodes left of Mandalorian after this. 15. Yeah, there is. Okay, never mind. I thought I math wrong, but I math right.
Yeah.
This was episode 6, so there's 7 and 8 left.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, there's two more episodes of Mandalorian. Next week is chapter 15. I'm really looking forward to a lightsaber Baskar steel fight. So let's see if that's next episode, but chances are that'll be the finale.
Probably. Yep. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we'll see Ahsoka and we'll see 2-on-1 dual lightsaber, darksaber, and Baskar.
Yeah. One last point. I wish when Grogu started reaching out to the Force, I wish they would have added a brief scene where kind of maybe Ahsoka's meditating and then kind of smiles and feels his presence.
Maybe.
I wish that was in there to kind of know that it was working, but now I guess, yeah.
Maybe they want, I mean, it would make sense, but maybe they just wanted to keep the mystery.
Maybe. But like I said, I think, I mean, the episode didn't need it, but I felt like after I watched it, I was like, oh, they could have put a little, like a quick 2-second clip in there. But oh well.
Yeah. It was already a short episode. I mean, Jesus, it was only like 30 minutes.
Yes. And it was directed by Robert Rodriguez, who you will know as the director of Spy Kids and Sharkboy and Lava Girl.
Really?
Yep.
But he did a good job. I mean, it was no Spy Kids, but I mean, it was great work.
Great episode of Star Wars.
I can't even joke about it. I mean, this last two episodes, I'm not even going to lie.
Last three.
I mean, this could be the best that Star Wars has done since Empire. Mm-hmm. These last couple episodes have been phenomenal. They really have.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that will do it for this week's episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Deep Space High. Be sure to join us next time as we continue the discussion on The Mandalorian.
Don't forget to keep the conversation going with hashtag Deep Space High. And be sure to like and follow our Facebook page where you can vote on our poll for next series that we can cover on this show after The Mandalorian's over. You could also like and follow our Instagram at Deep Space High Podcast. And you'll be able to stay up to our latest announcements whenever shows drop, whenever polls launch, whenever we just feel like talking about sci-fi.
Yep. And we would also like to ask everyone to leave a review. And please, if you can, we'd love it. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. This helps, you know, spreads the word about our show, attract more listeners, and then they get to enjoy this wonderful shit show.
Yes, it's a wonderful shit show. I mean, is it the greatest podcast in the world? No. Will you learn some stuff? Probably.
Yeah, I think that's a great description of it. It's the best shit show on the internet.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
And I'm Jedi Master Steve. And may the Force be with you, because this is the way.